The translators they sent had been grown from what they'd taken off human ships, of course. But they'd been raised and taught by the Presger, and I might as well have been talking to aliens. They're better now, but they're still unsettling company.
Begging my lord's pardon, save Arden. Why did you refuse them?
I was already planning to destroy them, said the child, Anander Meonai. I had begun to marshal the resources I thought I'd need. I thought they'd gotten wind of my plans and were frightened enough to want to make peace. I thought they were showing weakness.
She laughed, bitter and regretful. Odd to hear in such a young voice. But Anander Meonai was hardly young. I opened my eyes. Save Arden knelt beside my chair. A child of about 5 or 6 sat cross-legged on the grass in front of me, dressed all in black, a pastry in one hand, and the contents of my luggage spread around her.
You're awake.
You got icing on my icons, I accused.
They're beautiful.
She picked up the disc of the smaller one, triggered it. The image sprang forth, jeweled and enameled, the knife in its third hand glittering in the false sunlight.
This is you, isn't it?
Yes.
The Etran Tetrarchy. Is that where you found the gun?
No, it's where I got my money. Anander Meonai frankly stared in astonishment.
They let you leave with that much money?
One of the Tetrarchs owed me a favor.
That must have been some favor.
It was.
Do they really practice human sacrifice there, or is this...
She gestured to the severed head the figure held.
Just metaphorical.
It's complicated. She made a breathy humph. Save Arden knelt silent and motionless. The medic said you needed me. 5-year-old Anander Meonai laughed.
And so I do.
In that case, I said, go fuck yourself. Which he could actually literally do, in fact.
Half your anger is for yourself.
She ate the last bite of pastry and brushed her small gloved hands together, showering fragments of sugar icing onto the grass.
But it's such a monumentally enormous anger. Even half is quite devastating.
I could be 10 times as angry, I said, and it would mean nothing if I was unarmed. Her mouth quirked in a half smile.
I haven't gotten to where I am by laying aside useful instruments.
You destroy the instruments of your enemy wherever you find them, I said. You told me so yourself, and I won't be useful to you.
I'm the right one, the child said. I'll sing for you if you like, though I don't know if it will work with this voice. This is going to spread to other systems. It already has. I just haven't seen the reply signal from the neighboring provincial palaces yet. I need you on my side.
I tried sitting up straighter. It seemed to work. It doesn't matter whose side anyone is on. It doesn't matter who wins, because either way it will be you, and nothing will really change.
That's easy for you to say, said 5-year-old Anander Meonai. And maybe in some ways you're right. A lot of things haven't really changed. A lot of things might stay the same no matter which side of me is uppermost. But tell me, do you think it made no difference to Lieutenant On which of me was on board that day?
I had no answer for that.
If you've got power and money and connections, some differences won't change anything. Or, if you're resigned to dying in the near future, which I gather is your position at the moment, it's the people without the money and the power who desperately want to live. For those people, small things aren't small at all. What you call no difference is life and death to them.
And you care so much for the insignificant and the powerless, I said. I'm sure you stay awake nights worrying for them. Your heart must bleed.
Don't come all self-righteous on me, said Anandermi and I. You served me without a qualm for 2,000 years. You know what that means, better than almost anyone else here, and I do care. But in perhaps a more abstract way than you do, at least these days. Still, this is all my own doing. And you're right, I can't exactly rid myself of myself. I could use a reminder of that. It might be best if I had a conscience that was armed and independent.
Last time someone tried to be your conscience, I said, thinking of Ime, and that Mercy of Sarsa soldier who had refused her orders. She ended up dead.
You mean at Ime. You mean the soldier Mercy of Sarsa 1 Amat 1,
the child said, grinning as if at a particularly delightful memory.
I've never been dressed down like that in my long life. She cursed me at the end of it and tossed her poison back like it was arrack.
Poison? You didn't shoot her?
Gunshot wounds make such a mess, the child said, still grinning. Which reminds me...
She reached beside herself and brushed the air with one small gloved hand. Suddenly a box sat there, light-suckingly black.
Citizen Savardin.
Savardin leaned forward, took the box.
I'm well aware, said Anandermi and I, that you weren't speaking metaphorically when you said your anger had to be armed to mean anything. I wasn't either when I said my conscience should be. Just so you know, I mean what I'm saying. And just so you don't do anything foolish out of ignorance, I need to explain just what it is you have.
You know how it works? But she'd had the others for 1,000 years, more than enough time to figure it out.
To a point,
Anandermi and I smiled wryly.
A bullet, as I'm sure you already know, does what it does because the gun it's fired from gives it a large amount of kinetic energy. The bullet hits something, and that energy has to go somewhere.
I didn't answer, didn't even raise an eyebrow.
The bullets in the Garcetti gun,
5-year-old me and I continued,
aren't really bullets. They're devices, dormant until the gun arms them. At that point, it doesn't matter how much kinetic energy they have leaving the gun. From the moment of impact, it makes however much energy it needs to cut through the target for precisely 1.11 meters, and then it stops.
Stops? I was aghast. 1.11 meters? Asked Savardin, kneeling beside me, puzzled. Me and I made a dismissive gesture.
Aliens. Different standard units, I assume. Theoretically, once it was armed, you could toss one of those bullets gently against something, and it would burn right through it. But you can only arm them with the gun. As far as I can tell, there's nothing in the universe those bullets can't cut through.
Where does all that energy come from? I asked, still aghast, appalled. No wonder I had only needed one shot to take out that oxygen tank. It has to come from somewhere.
You'd think, said me and I. And you're about to ask me how it knows how much it needs, or the difference between air and what you're shooting at. And I don't know that either. You see why I made that treaty with the Presger, and why I'm so anxious to keep its terms.
And anxious, I said, to destroy them. The aim, the fervent desire of the other Anander, I guessed.
I didn't get where I am by having reasonable goals, said Anandermi and I. You're not to speak of this to anyone.
Before I could react, she continued.
I could force you to keep quiet, but I won't. You're clearly a significant piece in this cast. and it would be improper of me to interfere with your trajectory.
I hadn't thought you'd be superstitious, I said.
I wouldn't say superstitious, but I have other things to attend to. Few of me are left here. Few enough that the exact number is sensitive information. And there's a lot to do, so I really don't have time to sit here talking. Mercy of Collar needs a captain. And lieutenants, actually. You can probably promote them from your own crew.
I can't be a captain. I'm not a citizen. I'm not even human.
You are if I say you are,
she said. Ask Saevarden. Saevarden had set the box on my lap and now once again knelt silent beside my chair. Or Skyot.
Saevarden isn't going anywhere you aren't going, said the Lord of the Roch. She made that clear to me while you were asleep.
Then Skyot.
She already told me to fuck off.
What a coincidence.
And really, I do need her here.
She clambered to her feet, barely tall enough to meet my eyes without looking up, even sitting as I was.
Medical says you need a week at the least. I can give you a few additional days to inspect Mercy of Collar and take on whatever supplies you might need. It'll be easier for everyone if you just say yes now and appoint Saevarden your first lieutenant and let her take care of things. But you'll manage it the way you want.
She brushed grass and dirt off her legs.
As soon as you're ready, I need you to get to a Thoic station as quickly as you can. It's two gates away. Or it would be if Sword of Tlen hadn't taken that gate down.
Two gates away, Inspector Supervisor Skyot had said of Lieutenant On's sister.
What else are you going to do with yourself?
I actually have another option? She might have named me a citizen, but she could take it back as easily. Besides death, I mean. She made a gesture of ambiguity.
As much as any of us. Which is to say, possibly none at all. But we can talk philosophy later. We've both got things to do right now.
And she left. Saevarden gathered my things, repacked them, and helped me to my feet and out. She didn't speak until we were on the concourse.
It's a ship, even if it is just a mercy.
I had slept for some time, it seemed, long enough for the shards of glass to be cleared away, long enough for people to come out, though not in great numbers. Everyone looked slightly haggard, looked as though they'd be easily startled. Any conversations were low, subdued, so the place felt deserted even with people there. I turned my head to look at Saevarden and raised an eyebrow. You're the captain here. Take it if you want it.
No.
We stopped by a bench and she lowered me onto it.
If I were still a captain, someone would owe me back pay. I officially left the service when I was declared dead 1,000 years ago. If I want back in, I have to start all over again. Besides,
she hesitated and then sat beside me.
Besides, when I came out of that suspension pod, it was like everyone and everything had failed me. The Roch had failed me. My ship had failed me.
I frowned, and she made a placatory gesture.
No, it's not fair. None of it's fair. It's just how I felt. And I'd failed myself. But you hadn't. You didn't.
I didn't know what to say to that. She didn't seem to expect an answer. Mercy of Collar doesn't need a captain, I said after 4 seconds of silence. Maybe it doesn't want one.
You can't refuse your assignment.
I can if I have enough money to support myself. Saevarden frowned, took a breath as though she wanted to argue, but didn't. After another moment of silence, she said,
You could go into the temple and ask for a cast.
I wondered if the image of foreign piety I'd constructed had convinced her I had some sort of faith, or if she was merely too rod-shy, not to think the toss of a handful of omens would answer any pressing question, persuade me toward the right action.